things. The first one is that we should keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and entrust it to reliable people. So if you're taking notes, those are our 4 points this morning. Keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Why does Paul tell Timothy to keep this pattern? I don't know if you can remember, but the context to which Paul was writing, Timothy is the new lead pastor in Ephesus, and he's finding it very, very difficult with major persecution. And false teaching has also crept into the church, where others are discussing the life, death, and even the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and others are arguing about words and genealogies. And I think that's why Paul is challenging Timothy to keep to the pattern of sound teaching. Now that happened then, but I think it still happens to this day, where there's a lot of false doctrine taking place, a lot of false teaching taking place, even in our world today. For instance, the prosperity gospel. Do you know what that is? It says, give your life to Jesus and he'll give you a red Ferrari. Give your life to Jesus and he's going to look after you. You're going to have a massive bank balance and you're never going to worry. It's interesting how they just mend the truth a little. Because it's true that when you give your life to Jesus, things do change. It is true that God does look after you, but that does not mean that you're going to get a red Ferrari and a massive bank balance. Others claim that if you give your life to Jesus, you can just carry on living like you are because he forgives all your sins. So what's the problem? Which is a bit of a shocking doctrine and an absolute disgrace. Another doctrine that is emerging in our day, especially now, people are discarding certain portions of Scripture, saying that it's irrelevant and some of the teachings of Christ do not apply to us anymore. Some of these guys are passionate about fighting for social injustice and doing good stuff, but they forget about our sin and God's massive gift of atonement. And I think the most dangerous doctrine that we have currently infiltrating the church and Christianity is that all roads lead to heaven. In our current culture, people even put it, you do you and let me do me. And at the end of the day, we'll figure out who's right and who's wrong, and then it'll all be okay. It's interesting how religious tolerance has grown to religious acceptance of all, even to the extent where we wonder and doubt even our own faith and doctrines. Friends, this isn't something new. It's been going on for many years. But the true gospel of Jesus Christ, I must say this morning, is offensive. It's even offensive to us because it requires of us to stop doing certain things and follow the way of Christ. And I think for most of us in this room, we found that offensive at first. What? I need to give up that to follow Jesus? Yeah. But do you notice how dangerous these doctrines are and how they come in different shapes and sizes? Danny Aiken calls it heretical math, where we add or subtract or divide or multiply certain portions of the gospel to suit our own needs and our own convictions so that we can maintain our lifestyles as they are. We even change the gospel, which is the power of God, unto salvation for all who believe. Many people say you've got to work your way into heaven, which is absolute rubbish. But this is not something new. It happened even in Timothy's day, where the Jews were like, hey, but you've got to be circumcised and you can't eat certain things. The Gentiles are like, you can eat everything. As long as you love Jesus, you're okay. The Romans, you know, they were like off with your head if you didn't want to believe in what they believed. And the Greeks, it was all about knowledge. And they would argue about these things all the time. So it's very similar to us today. Just watch social media and the arguments that take place if a sports star posts something. Hey? in our modern day context. It still happens to this day. And I think that's why Paul says we should guard the good deposit of the gospel that's been laid on our hearts. Because we get bombarded every day in the shops and on TV and social media with ideas and suggestions on how to live this life and live it well. And at face value, these things all look great. They even sometimes look like good biblical teachings. And surely I should do that too. But when we go and measure those things directly against the Word of God, we realize very quickly the fallacies containing most of these doctrines, if not all. So today our challenge is that we've got to look at our lives very carefully. We've got to look at our beliefs very carefully and measure those up to the Word of God, not the modified Word of God, not Jan's version 2.0, but the Word of God as it is written. Because before we know it, we all start inventing our own bug spray to eliminate the evil in this world. If we don't measure our beliefs and our life directly to the Word of God as it is. Before we know it, a good suggestion or an idea or a culture says, I will protect myself, my family, my beliefs, even at the cost of yours. Just this week, we were told about the staggering murder rates in the Western Cape, especially in Cape Town, and how that is growing. And what blows my mind is the population in Cape Town, 87% claim they're Christian. Yet, 55 people a day lose their lives in Cape Town. A day. Come on. What gospel are you ticking that gives you the right to take somebody's life? Most certainly not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've most certainly lost your way somewhere where you think it's okay to take somebody else's life. You think it's okay to sexually offend somebody else, yet you tick the Christian box. Some really disturbing stuff. You carry on reading through these articles. But some of the other stuff's a bit more subtle. You know, you can get away with it. You know, it's tax season in a few weeks' time. You can get away with adding another expense to your tax return. It wasn't quite that cappuccino that I bought for that client. I was just thirsty that day. It's just as subtle where the doctrine of unconditional grace gets abused and twisted to justify even the smallest of sins, because God will take care of it. Friends, that's the abuse of grace. Cannot shoot somebody and steal and lie about a tax return if we tick the Christian box. We cannot do that. That's why Paul challenges Timothy. He challenges us today. Guard the good deposit that was placed in your heart when you gave your life to Jesus. And be wary of all these little, subtle, false doctrines that seem good at the time. It's good, men, to protect our families and our wives and our children. But where do we draw the line of our responsibility? Where it's okay and we move that line up and I'm going to take somebody's life right now because they've come to hurt my son and my wife. Where do we draw the line? Because in our modern day culture, it just seems like that line gets pushed out and pushed out and pushed out even more. And it's my greatest fear for this generation. Is that that line keeps going and going and going closer to evil, to the point where we reject even the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because we're not so sure anymore. Because we've allowed these fallacies to infiltrate our belief systems instead of measuring it up against the Word of God again and again and again. When somebody says it's okay for you to take up arms, as a Christian, I wonder about that. What is the intent of that gun? It's most certainly not to target practice against a palm tree. The intent of any weapon is to take a life. And when we read Scripture, I wonder about these things. Surely, when Stephen was martyred, he could have easily taken up his own rock and flung a rock at somebody. And I got that one at least. I protected myself, protected my family. But at what cost, friends? At what cost? At what cost? Before we know it, the most subtlest of things infiltrated our hearts completely. And like I said, my fear is that we keep moving it aside, where one day we stand before the Lord and we've taken all these little on-ramps to false doctrine along the way, and eventually we find ourselves on the way of death, not the narrow way. We stand before the Lord and He goes, young man, hey, but the narrow way, He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And yes, when that murderer came into the front door, I wanted you to love him, even at the cost of your own life. It's hard. Okay? I think most of us will sit here going, Jan, hey, but I'm saying that I would struggle with that. Got this practice golf club that's really heavy. It's got a serious weight on the one end. It's next to my bedside table. I think it needs to move into my golf bag. Yes, the intent of that golf club is to strengthen my golf swing. But it's next to my bedside table in case somebody comes to visit and practice their putting at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not what that golf club's meant to be. It's not what it was designed for. It was designed to hit a golf ball, not a human being. So I've had to move it to my golf bag, because it doesn't measure up with what the Word of God teaches. Love that criminal as you love yourself. Lord, that is hard. I'm going to need, as the text says, the strength of the Holy Spirit to help me guard the good deposit of the gospel in my heart in that moment. Because every portion of Jan's being would want to beat the living daylights out of that guy. Because how dare you? And I'm pretty sure it was the same for Jesus. Hanging on that cross. Being mocked and beaten and scorned and teased. I think there was a part of him just, Lord, just give me a moment. I just want to sort them out, and then I'll get back on the cross. No, he didn't. His words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that's the challenge for us today, when that person walks through that door to really hurt you and violate your privacy and your life, that our response would be, Father, forgive this person for what they're doing. And please help me not smack him right now. Please help me guard this good deposit. And I believe the only way to do that is to ensure that God's Word becomes more evident in our lives. That He becomes a stronger part of who we are. And we can only get that right by spending more time with Him. By reading His Word more diligently. By ensuring that the good deposit that He has placed in our heart grows and outgrows the bad deposit that we've had for so many years. And maybe today you and I need to start doing that more often. We've got to measure our lifestyles, what we do and what we believe, directly against Scripture. And if there's a mismatch, maybe from this day onwards, we need to go, Lord, help me. Just like David did. when he realized that one of the things that he did was a complete mismatch to what Jesus and what God wanted for him, David goes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out all my transgressions. Wash me of all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." And as you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you. But he doesn't just leave you there. He says, "By the power of my Spirit, I'm going to help you grow so that the next time a naked girl walks past you, you go, you're going to walk away." But we can only walk away from those sins. We can only say to the guy that walks through your front door at 2 o'clock in the morning, "Peace be with you. Take what you want. I want to love you with the love of God." You probably think you're cooked. But just imagine what would happen. Look at what happened with Stephen. He didn't fight those criminals. He died. And look at what happened to Paul because of that. May the same happen in our modern day, where we allow the Spirit to work in our lives to that extent, where we are able to act strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. That we would become people of grace. Not just because we act that way, but because we believe it to our utter core. That we have a strong conviction about what Jesus did and what he expects us to do for him. And that we allow God to work in our hearts more and more each day, even when we're driving in traffic. And that guy cuts us off and gives us hand signals that we don't understand. That we would give them the grace. When somebody does the unbelievable to you and hurts you like you cannot believe, let us be people of grace. Go, okay, that really hurts. But just imagine what Jesus was enduring on that cross. And that's why Paul says, "I count these things that you and I are going to endure as absolutely meaningless in light of the cross. Insignificant in light of what Jesus has done for us." So you and I need to really start leaning more on God's strength, more on the Holy Spirit, especially in peak hour traffic. Especially when that person walks through that front door. Especially when life gets tough. Go, "Lord, I need you. I need you right now to be a person of grace that is in Jesus Christ. So that person might be turned towards you because of what they see in and through me." Friends, this won't happen overnight. Guaranteed. Maybe for some it will, and that's unfair. And we'll take that up with Jesus one day. Like, how can that person just turn around like this? You know, he was a really dodgy oak. Like, Paul, kill people, and all of a sudden, hey, how's it doing? Just this loving guy. Hey? But for most of us, it's a journey. It's a journey, and let's start leaning into God more, and you'll notice how he changes things in your life the more you lean into him. The more you study his word and measure your life against his word, the more you'll see him changing the way we walk and talk and what we say. And in so doing, we will be able to entrust the grace that we've received to other people in a way that they would want to receive it. Want to receive it. None of us deserve the grace that we've received. And that person walking through your front door at 2 o'clock in the morning also doesn't deserve it. But I believe that when we have a true understanding of the gospel, we would understand that they need it too. Because we're all wretched sinners. All of us fall short of God's glory, but have been made right through Christ. And so in that moment, ask God's help. Help me witness to this person what you've taught me. We're all called to be strong in grace, but it's not that easy. And that's why the text says, in the power of the Holy Spirit, guard that good deposit. And then we are called to entrust what we have learned about the gospel of grace to the next generation. It's been awesome this week to witness that in the lives of faithful men and women, where children are faithfully following God because their parents modeled it for them and taught them the truth about Jesus. And so last week we did that dedication and many baptisms. And I think that's happened because people took this very seriously back in the day. I'm going to take this gospel that's been entrusted to us, I'm going to understand it, and I'm going to pass it on to the next generation. And 2019 years later, here we sit. May it be so in 4019. O Lord, please come before then. But may it be so that there's a group of people in a room like this saying, yes, I believe in Jesus and I follow him because somebody else has passed on the truth of the gospel to me and to the next generation. And friends, I don't think this principle in this passage is just limited to the gospel. I actually think that everything in life will fall or rise on this principle. In business, if you choose to just keep it here, your culture that you have invested in, your principles and your values, if you choose to keep it here and not pass it on to the next generation, that business probably won't succeed for another 50 years, if another generation. And so if you and I in business would take this principle of the gospel and take our business principles and pass it on to the next person in line, or the next generation, that business will succeed. The same in schools, hey D? Same in schools. If they listen, we'll get to the entrust to faithful people now. The same happens in schools, and the New Zealand rugby team is really good with this. They start from a very young age, and they pass on very good rugby principles to the generations to come. And that's why they're number one. And we'll probably be like that for many years to come. And every now and then the Springboks might, just might, knock them off their porch. Hey? But if we get this right in our businesses, in our schools, in our sports teams, in our families, just imagine what the next generation is going to look like. If we take the skills and the things that God has given to us and entrusted to us and we pass that on to the next generation, not only will the gospel reach Durban North and all the way to Cape Town and the murder rate will go down instead of up, but we'll see businesses and economies and countries turned around because the wisdom in this room has been passed on to the next generation. And please pass it on. Please pass it on. People in our generation need your wisdom. We make stupid decisions 9 times out of 10. Maybe just like you when you were 30. But we need that wisdom. We need it. And so I'm going to ask you to do something bold today. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're willing. Spread the gospel, but also what God has entrusted into your life. Your wisdom, your skill set. If you're willing to pass it on to the next generation, please stand. It's kind of a loaded question. Hey? It's like, yeah, asking me to stand, but you're not really giving me a choice. It's not me. Text says, pass on the good deposit that was given to you to the next generation. Pass it on. Yes, there are going to be times where you want to pass it on, and people are going to take that good deposit and they're going to throw it in the trash can and not use it at all. But just imagine if someone did that to us back in the day when we were younger, in terms of the gospel, but also our skill sets. Just imagine where we would be if it wasn't for Jesus. and what He has done in and through faithful men and women before us. So I've asked you to stand because God wants you to pass on not just His gospel, but everything that you've got to the next generation. So they go, hey, so-and-so changed my life. So-and-so passed on the gospel to me, and I want to do the same for the next generation. So friends, that is the call of God on our lives today. Guard the good deposit that He's laid on your heart. Measure everything that you see online, especially online, against the Word of God. And if it smells funny, it is funny. Hey? If the milk smells off, it is off. Measure it up against the Word of God. And that's why we've got a group of people like this in the room. Because you can come here and come to Nigel's study tonight and go, hey, Nigel, what about this? I don't know. I don't know if this is true. And Nigel will be able to go, hey, no, let's read the Bible together. I don't think that's kosher. Hey, don't think it's right. But we also come here to get strengthened and equipped to go back into our everyday lives. Go back to work on Tuesday and pass on what you've learned to the next generation. Yes, D, it's hard to find faithful people to pass it on to. But that's where we need to rely on the Holy Spirit as well to reveal to us who we need to teach these business principles to, who we need to teach the gospel to so that they can go and do it for the next generation. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've entrusted us with life, with family, with work, with a community and a church. And most importantly, You've entrusted us with the gospel. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us. Because as we've read, so many people are failing with holding on to the truth, that they justify killing people. We ask today that You would help us, Lord. Come back to Your Word faithfully and go into this community and reveal to this community what true Christianity is all about. Help us to go and put out all the false doctrines and reveal Your grace to this world, Your gospel to this world, in such a way that the murderers' hearts will be changed. The thieves, the corrupt. That many more people will call upon Your name and be saved. Will turn their backs on their lives of sin that lead to death and accept the gift of grace that You've given to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Heal our land, Lord. Heal our country. Heal our families. By the power of Your Word. And here we are standing. Use us, Lord. We are willing to go and show this next generation what You're about. And also teach them all that we know. And give them the wisdom that they need in order to live faithfully for You for many generations to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.